Welcome to the Trade Securely Podcast.
Welcome to the Trade Securely Podcast, a show where we help Canadian businesses grow safely and securely at home and abroad. And it's brought to you by the Receivables Insurance Association of Canada. I'm your host, Janet Eastman. This week on the show, we're going to talk about the fine balancing act of credit management for business with two people in the industry. Abraham Catan is a trade credit practice leader at Aon Risk Solutions with over 30 years of experience in credit management, collections, alternative dispute resolution, negotiations, and litigation process. His colleague David Cook is a broker and an account executive at Aon Risk Solutions Credit Solutions, whose primary role is to develop credit solutions that address trade risk. So together, they have a wealth of experience that's going to help us navigate the credit management process. So I think, David, let's start with you. Actually, welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So David, let's start with you and let's talk about, do most Canadian businesses actually have a credit manager?
It actually really depends on the business. While some companies might not have a dedicated person for the credit function, it is often performed by a person operating in multiple capacities. As the volume of incoming credit requests increases or concentration of credit risk becomes more evident, most companies will want to have a designated professional managing this business function.
So initially, though, would it be somebody like the CFO who's looking at that?
That might be correct. It could also be a president, depending on the size of the organization.
Right. Okay. So, Abraham, you've been a credit manager. What is the primary role of a credit manager?
Well, the primary role of a credit manager is really to assist a company to maximize their sales and mitigating potential losses. Some of the responsibilities they have is to oversee the entire credit granting process, apply and institute sound credit policy, initiate credit reviews on existing customers, and assess the credit worthiness of future customers.
Okay, so what would you say is the most challenging area of credit management for the credit managers then?
So I guess the most challenging area for a credit manager would be to ensure that the credit collection policy is not too restrictive and it facilitates sales and growth, right? The second area that can be extremely challenging for a credit manager is to consider a customer from both a sales perspective and also a risk perspective so they're not choking their sales and finding solutions that will maximize sales and mitigate potential risk to a company.
So where do they actually find this information? Like, how do they access that information?
Well, they can access information through Dun & Bradstreet. They can various credit reports and tools. There's data analytics. There's a lot of proprietary information. Some companies also use, various internal systems, right, to access different types of information and credit worthiness of a client.
But it can be a fairly arduous process then, I would imagine, especially if some of that information is hard to find.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So, Abraham, it's been 10 years since the last recession and the credit crunch. What lessons have you learned? What did you learn then? And what are you learning as time goes on?
I guess the main lesson I learned is expect the unexpected and explore insuring your accounts receivable with a credit insurance policy. You know, there's a lot, as you noted before, there's a lot of traditional tools available to credit managers to assess risk, such as, credit scoring, credit reports, bank reports, taking security and verifying credit references. However, none of these provide 100% guarantee that your company's going to get paid. And just one large unexpected bankruptcy can have a devastating effect on the supply chain and various industry sectors, leaving your company exposed and customers with the inability to pay you.
Yeah. Okay. So, David, let's look at what the difference is between a credit solution and then a trade credit insurance policy.
Absolutely. I think it's a great question. In the context of coverage options, most businesses consider a trade credit insurance policy to protect themselves against the risk of non-payment. The purchase decision is typically singularly focused and self-serving for the insured. A credit solution involves a risk analysis for all parties included in the transaction and the application of a variety of risk mitigation tools, including trade credit insurance, surety, and financial products that might be used to drive a desired result. It includes a comprehensive 360-degree review of the trade transaction by industry experts across multiple lines of coverages and a combination of risk mitigation tools manipulated towards offloading trade risk for the financiers, suppliers, and counterparties. By providing integrated credit solutions that involve all parties of the transaction, we bridge the inherent risk for each and better facilitate commercial trade.
So from your experience, David, how many Canadian companies actually are mitigating their risk and protecting themselves in this way?
In terms of what? In terms of trade credit or exploring a credit solution on having maybe like a surety solution in place on one side of the transaction, maybe a trade credit insurance policy on the other side of the transaction? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
We've had multiple inquiries, and the reality is trade credit insurance acts as an excess coverage solution to any other form of indemnity in most cases. The other element to trade credit insurance is it typically doesn't cover a contract rejection or performance risk. So although it doesn't act like surety for maybe an obligee in the transaction, it can also provide some additional peace of mind. And you might also have instances too where surety might be at capacity on issuing bonds for a principal throughout the transaction. And that's where we typically might see an inquiry come up. And certainly that information would be disclosed as well to the insurer that we're working with.
Right. Okay. So Abraham, from your perspective, what are some of the benefits? And you've actually been a trade credit manager, or a credit manager rather. So from your perspective, what are some of the benefits of purchasing a trade credit insurance policy?
Well, I guess one of the biggest benefits is, if I was buying it, is peace of mind, knowing that your receivables are secured. It provides you protection against insolvency and a customer default on sales made on credit terms. It also helps to facilitate growth and improve bank margining on new and existing markets. It helps support your company's accounts receivable policies and validates sound credit protocols, right? Another thing that I think it's quite important, especially these days, is it offers a solution for directors and officers by providing them a second opinion on credit limit decisions and monitoring the customer portfolio. This way you're not leaving, large concentration risks or, very large decisions with one person being the credit manager. You're getting a second eyes taking a look at that portfolio and giving it its blessings that you have an endorsed credit limit.
Right. Now, I mean, we've seen some colossal bankruptcies over the last little while. Sears is one that definitely comes to mind. I mean, there are a lot of businesses that most people thought could never fail. So in the past Canadian companies have continued to do business with some of these businesses because they just thought they're too big to fail. And are they going and are they protected when they do that business? I'm just trying to get a sense of how Canadian companies are actually using receivables insurance.
So they're using it to to improve their bank margining, and facilitate sales growth. Typically, if you don't have a trade credit insurance policy, you're leaving your company potentially exposed, because explained, a lot of the times you're not aware of an unexpected potential catastrophic loss, right? And we've seen many of them. If you can get a credit limit in place, then what happens is you're sitting in the driver's seat, instead of your customer sitting in the driver's seat. And I'll explain to you from a credit manager's perspective. So typically, if you had a very large client, you've always had a good relationship with the client, and the client, was a little bit late, you'd most likely ship the product out. And if you didn't receive by the second or third week that you're past due, most likely you would put the account on hold. You could get a potential call saying, look, we're having a little bit of an issue. Somebody didn't pay us. Please just approve it, right? If you take the hard stance saying, I'm not going to ship you, the next situation or the next call that you may be getting is, unless you ship me, I can't make any money to pay you. Right. And now you're sitting behind, behind other creditors, and you're sitting at the mercy of somebody who's already got your product. And in most cases, as soon as the product has left that building, you're done. Mm-hmm. So if you have a receivable insurance, you can, you know, there's certain timelines and protocols that, you know, that can be enacted. And at the end of the day, you don't need to continue shipping, right? You can run your business the way you need to run your business and not at the mercy of your creditor who, you know, by chance or not by chance, you know, doesn't have the ability to pay you.
Right. And I guess your insurance provider would also have that visibility that they would be able to say, look, there is trouble coming down the line here. Keep an eye on this client.
Correct. And insurance providers, many of them have proprietary database and they're looking at the buyer's buyer, right? So there's a lot of great value with a credit report, you know, Dun & Bradstreet, Equifax, TransUnion. These are all, you know, great reports, but these are a snapshot in time, you know, where an insurance carrier is looking at these buyers on an ongoing basis. So if they've had a claim, if they've had some collection problems, then they are advising their clients that there's potential, you know, trouble coming down the line. So if there's a train coming, you want to get out of the way. And many times, if you're not out of the way, you're going to get hit. And this is why many companies have gotten hit unexpectedly, you know, on some very large receivables that, you know, prior they had no indication that these receivables have gone bad.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? Because they've always been good paying clients.
Yeah. But bad things can happen to good companies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So David, how have tariffs heightened the demand for trade credit coverage?
Yeah, from a Canadian import perspective, tariffs or the threats of tariffs by China on U.S. businesses has pressured Canadian companies to consider pricing implications throughout the supply chain. Trade pacts such as the USMCA, or formerly known as NAFTA, have resulted in heavy reliance on U.S. suppliers, with the costs of tariffs imposed on the U.S. suppliers likely to be passed along to Canadian importers. Many Canadian importers are now looking to Chinese suppliers as the threat of tariffs of U.S. suppliers begins to materialize. Challenges include a 30 to 50% deposit made to the Chinese supplier, often with little knowledge of the country business climate or a supplier's creditworthiness. Trade credit insurance with a deposit or advance payment coverage is a useful tool that can help alleviate concerns surrounding this risk. Similarly, this shift could result in an opportunity for Canadian exporters should U.S. counterparties elect to import from Canadian suppliers under the rules of the USMCA.
Okay. Okay, so let's talk about that role that data analytics is going to play to determine the trade credit risk. How does that work?
Sure. With respect to data analytics, and maybe just to clarify, that being the data that we collect to help Aon clients make informed decisions. That data incorporates carrier performance as reported to the Office of the Superintendent of Financial Institutions or by annual report. This information is databased and used to draw insight with respect to the relationship between premium written growth and increases in claims volume and frequency. The information is further aggregated to draw insight on the trade credit insurance industry in Canada and identify trends. Secondly, historical industry and sector loss information is also incorporated into our analytics. Thirdly, carrier performance surveys conducted globally to measure the responsiveness of each insurer in key service areas is also collected by Aon. And lastly, client satisfaction surveys to ensure that our clients are satisfied. You see, these analytics can be helpful to clients when trying to determine the state of the market, industry loss trends, the usefulness of non-cancelable limits versus cancelable limits, and expected service levels of each carrier.
Okay. So I guess we're almost out of time here, but I guess the one thing, and I remember somebody saying this to me about insurance in the past, and when you're thinking about receivables insurance, it's no good calling up the insurer when your house is on fire to buy fire insurance. So it's no good when things start to go badly wrong to actually call up and get your coverage. So even in good times and bad times, people should be investigating the power of receivables insurance. Is that correct?
I mean, I would agree with that. And, further to the previous question, since the last financial crisis, I think it's important to note that during the last financial crisis, it was very difficult to underwrite trade credit risk because the bankruptcies and losses did go so high. Mm-hmm. The important element to that, though, was if you were a client before the financial crisis hit, majority of the insurance carriers did what they can or could in order to support their existing client base. Whereas if you didn't have trade credit insurance and then the financial crisis did hit and everyone gravitated towards trade credit insurance, at that point in time, most underwriters were just simply trying to support their client base rather taking on additional risk. So the point of my comment is certainly, into your comment, Janet, it certainly does make sense to investigate trade credit before you have a financial crisis, whether that be from an economic standpoint or even a microeconomic standpoint within your own business, simply because most carriers are there to support their clients when a crisis does occur. And they tend to be a little more restrictive on taking on new risk in the middle of a financial crisis.
Right. And I guess ultimately, from your standpoint, Abraham, business is always evolving. So whether it's good or bad, you just should be making sure you've got your assets covered.
That's correct. You don't want to have any unexpected surprises. It takes a long time to build up, a company and to ensure that, you're going to get paid. The last thing you need is an unexpected, surprise of a loss that you should have seen coming.
Yeah, and that could, derail your business completely. Gentlemen, thank you very much for taking the time to look at credit management for business. I really appreciate your insights right there on the front line. You both are, so that's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Abraham Catan is the trade credit practice leader at Aon Risk Solutions, and David Cook is a broker and account executive at Aon Risk Solutions Credit Solutions. The Trade Securely podcast is brought to you by the Receivables Insurance Association of Canada. We're helping Canadian businesses grow safely and securely at home and abroad, so please share the podcast with your business network. I'm Janet Eastman. Thanks very much for listening.
The Trade Securely podcast is brought to you by the Receivables Insurance Association of Canada, whose member companies help Canadian businesses succeed and grow securely.